Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But joining us right now, Ike, I don't know how many weeks ago I spoke to Steve Cofield of Cofield & Company from ESPN Radio Las Vegas, and he asked on the air, he said, you think Bryce Harper's a good fit for Philly? And I was like, yeah, like, why? What do you know? And we're going to ask him right now. Steve Cofield, a New Jersey native, joins us right now live. We're Chickies in South Philly. What's up, Stevie?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Yo, so why, Steve, why did you say, like, we were saying, like, who do you think's a better fit? You said Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. And I said, well, Machado's not a great fit because I don't know if he's a guy that hustles it out. And you were like, oh, like, well, is Bryce Harper a good fit? So I'll ask you. You know him. You're out there. Is Bryce Harper a natural good fit for the city of Philly?
I'd say he's 80% a good fit. I think my only worry is if he can't handle some negative media, can't handle some negative fans, he could be in a little trouble. And I also wonder, and you schooled me on this yesterday, you said as long as you know fans feel like Bryce has their back, they'll be cool with him. I also wonder if Bryce, once he's there and he's established and he kind of goes back to what he's been in D.C. and what he was in D.C., kind of corporate, more straight-laced. He's really media-trained. I mean, he's a smart guy, and he follows social media. But he's sort of, I'm not going to say he's like Tiger, you know, from a personality standpoint, because he's not doing all the stuff on the side, but he's very smooth. So I think most of the media sessions, once he's established there, are going to be pretty quick. So I just wonder how fans will react to that, how media will react to that. And if he's hitting, it's going to be fine. If he has a start like he did last year, if he has, you know, a month and a half where he's hitting 180 and he's whiffing a bunch, I just wonder how he's going to react. But I think for the most part, he plays the game sort of like Pete Rose with the all-out attitude. So I think he'll be fine in Philly, but there could be a couple of pitfalls. He's never played in a market like Philadelphia. Philadelphia, as you guys know, Philly, Boston, and New York are completely different than any other market in sports. It's just the way it is. The fans are way more intense. It's every day. And we do know now in this era of competitive media, there are going to be people who will take the side of, hey, this guy's not worth $330 million and ride that for a good part of this contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, Steve, his personality, right? How much of it can you attribute to so much being thrust on him at such a young age and going into a major league locker room being given so much? I guess it being a little bit of a culture shock to him possibly, and then you said he sounded like he's so much media trained. Is there a lack of a human side to him, so to speak, right? When you brought up Tiger
Yep.
Woods, that sort of made me think, okay, like, can he relate to the human side of guys in his locker room? In other words, do his teammates like him? Do his teammates like playing with him? Is he a down-to-earth guy?
Yeah, I don't know what went on in the Nationals locker room. I think he got along well with his teammates. I think you nailed the point at the beginning, because so much was thrust upon Bryce Harper early on. And this is a dude who made sure he graduated high school by the time he was 16, 17 years old, could go to JUCO for a year at 17. He got all that attention, SI cover. And if you remember, when he first got to the majors, people were kind of out to get him.
Yeah.
One, because he was called a prodigy. Two, because he played his ass off and was running like a lunatic and, you know, flipping himself on throws from the outfield. almost allegations that he was playing the game too hard. So I think he saw that if he countered that and spoke too much, that it just wasn't going to end. So I think he pulled himself back a little bit. And when, you know, John was on my show yesterday, and I brought up Derek Jeter. Now, Derek Jeter was allowed to be, you know, straight and narrow guy, quick quote guy, because he won so much. But I think that's what happened with Jeter. Jeter just realized in New York, if he talked every day, it was going to be headline stuff. So he pulled back a little bit. And I think Bryce can be like a Jeter. I think Jeter let everything roll off in New York. But Jeter also never had rough times. He won from the get-go. So that's really, as I said earlier, the only possibility that Bryce has some difficulties in Philadelphia is if he does slump when he does slump, that he doesn't react to it well.
Steve Cofield out from in Las Vegas, where Bryce Harper is born and raised, or at least raised, and calls his home now, when he's not going to be in Philadelphia playing for the Phillies for however many months a year. So, Steve, you mentioned negativity before, and I remember seeing this where they said that Bryce does not like negativity. He's not a negative guy, and you said it. The nature of the sports business in 2019 is there's going to be people that just make a business decision themselves that I'm going to be the anti-Bryce Harper guy, and that's what they're going to. Skip Bayless became the pro-Tim Tebow guy. Now he's the anti-LeBron guy. So what you do is you choose a side, and then you dig in, and that becomes a topic. I mean, you can't get away from that. Is that something that Bryce, like you said, doesn't enjoy and maybe revolt against, and that's where he becomes bitter against it?
I think if he had started in Philadelphia, it might have been trouble. I think he'll be okay because, you know, he's already been in the majors for 5 or 6 years, so he's dealt with it nationally. I mean, you guys probably know D.C. better than I do, and I know some guys who do radio in D.C. D.C. is not the same market as Philly and Boston New York. So, I mean, I think he's gotten a little bit of it, but he's basically been a god in cleats that whole time in D.C. But, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's going to have to deal with it, and we'll see how he adjusts to it early on. I mean, I can't imagine, you guys tell me you're there, I can't imagine anyone's going to go anti-Bryce Harper like early on unless he's hitting 100 for the first couple of months. I mean, he's got a grace period for at least a year, right? I mean, this is, he chose Philadelphia, which it seems like in the past, you know, a lot of people haven't been willing to choose Philadelphia for 5 and 10, in this case, 13 years. So he's got to get love for the first year, right?
I agree with you. I mean, I think, Steve, we like to think that and believe that. But there is a facet of this fan base that will say, like you mentioned a moment ago, about the amount of money that he was given. And there were some who didn't think he was worth the money. And obviously that's a vocal minority. The majority of this fan base is ready to embrace him. They're celebrating him coming here. And I think he will get that grace period. But you know, in this business, it's the vocal minority that's the loudest, that typically makes the most noise. And when he does struggle, we'll get those few callers.
We'll get the calls, yeah.
We'll get the callers that call up and say, I told you he was never worth $300 million. But as long as he ignores it, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, the funny thing on the money is he is worth the money. I hadn't realized. I was looking up attendance numbers last night. You guys know where the Phillies were last year in attendance, right, in the league?
Bottom third, probably?
Yeah, they were 19th in Major League Baseball. I was kind of going back and forth with some Philly fans because I like to take the Dodger angle since we're out here in Las Vegas. The Phillies were 19, the Dodgers were number one. So both for that Machado deal for the Padres, because the Padres are 18th, and for the Phillies, I mean, of course the deal's worth $26 million a year. You have plenty of room to move up in attendance and get people even more fired up to buy Phillies tickets.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a box office draw as much as it's anything else.
Yep.
No doubt about it. All right, Steve Cofield, this is the most important question we're going to ask you today. You know Bryce Harper better than anybody probably listening right now. Is he a bro or a dude? There's a bunch of bros on this team. Gabe Kapler's a bro. We think Arrieta's a bro. You know him better. Is he a bro or is he a dude?
There's a definition between the two.
Well, I think a bro is more of a, like you agree with this, a bro's more of a meathead. Like kind of like a Jersey Shore-ish, kind of like, yo, bro, and a dude is a dude. You know what I mean? Like, dude, or bra. Seems like a bra.
I have no idea what the hell he's talking about, Steve. I have no idea.
No, because I think I know what a dude, I think he might be, I don't think he's a meathead, but I think he might be more towards a bro.
He's a bro. 65% at Mark Cerise WIP right now are saying bro, so.
I don't think anybody wants to be known as a dude. I think that's pretty much what that boils down.
Danny Dykes is the dude.
Yeah. I think a dude is someone who's going to be pals with a lot of the guys and go out drinking and rough it up a little bit. I don't think Bryce is going to be that guy on a regular basis, because I think Bryce likes to keep a low profile. Actually, you know, it's funny. The last time I saw him here in town was a one of the popular pizza joints on the east side of town, and he came in. It was all incognito. He was picking up like 14 pizzas, and I look over and I'm like, "Does he have? He had like giant glasses on, a hood." So I don't know that he's going to be yucking it up with his teammates, hanging out at bars around Philly. So he's probably closer to a bro, if that's the definition of bro.
All right, there is Steve Cofield. Steve, thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
I appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, he is. Yeah, I think that's a perfect way of describing it, Ben. I'm sure Ben likes this this discussion more than anybody. A dude is definitely the guy that's maybe mopping up the bar when he should be sleeping because they have a game the next morning. And you, Arrieta.
I certainly don't expect Bryce Harper to be that guy.
No, he doesn't drink.
No.
But Gabe.
No, that's Johnny Manziel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Johnny Manziel.
Oh, you know, they're not having
Phillies.
Anything except like except paleo diet, like chip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no, but they're working out. They're working out before they go to work.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you want.
Yep.
There's going to be no fat in that clubhouse.
Yeah, you want that. And I love it.
I'm okay with a couple dudes.
Yeah, protein shakes. You know what
I mean? Listen, I don't need my best player to be the guy hanging out.
No, absolutely not.
I need my best player to be a guy that's obsessed with the sport, that's obsessed with being the best. And that's why I love Carson Wentz, because I know he's obsessed with being the best. He may not go about it the way you may want him to, but he's not cutting. He's not
he's putting
taking
more
shortcuts.
Himself.
Yeah, he's not taking shortcuts. And that's going to be Bryce Harper. He's going to be right there working out with Gabe.
Yeah, no, yeah. They'll be doing
5:30 in the morning.
They'll be doing squats somewhere together.
No doubt.
To go to Ian in Westchester. Hi, Ian.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
Hey, so
it's kind of what I want Joel to start doing.
I just wanted to call in and say that, you know, I think first off, about time we got him. So happy, couldn't be any more excited for the Phillies, for Philadelphia. But I can't help but notice, and like, so of course, like, you know, I mean, I'm born, bred Philly fan, and I know there's hundreds of thousands and millions of others who are exactly the same, but I'm just wondering, like, I can't help think about how many people now are bandwagon fans. And like,
that's a good thing, Ian.
And it's kind of like it's like, you know, making me upset because, like, you know, we, for those of us that have like been sticking with the Phillies this long, you know, it's like,
yeah, but it's not a but Ian, I hear you. It's not a competition, though, right? I mean, if you didn't have bandwagoners, you'd have 17,000 people down at every game. We need the bandwagoners, Ian. This is going to mean more to you if the Phillies win a World Series,
no doubt,
than it means to the bandwagon people. It was like that for me in 2008. I don't care. I hope everybody enjoys it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I know what you're
saying. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, he's saying he stuck through the tough times, and you know,
he's a real deal fan.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Ian, you got to realize that, you know, the Phillies didn't make this move saying we're doing this just for our diehard fans. They had the 10,000 that showed up down here. They want the casual.
They already know you're coming.
Fans. Yeah, they want the bandwagon fans.
Perfect example. If the Flyers were to get really good and they started winning and they wanted Stanley Cup, I would be excited. I'd be watching.
Yeah.
It wouldn't mean as much to me as it would to the guy that was the guy or the girl that loved the Flyers for their whole life. And I know that it wouldn't.
Yeah. I think the way fans view sports today, sure, you're going to have those diehards that grew up loving sports one way. But then you're going to have people that didn't grow up loving sports but know that sports is a part of American culture. And a lot of what we do, and especially in group settings, revolve around sports. And so they are casual fans. Mm-hmm. And that's how the sport grows. That's how it becomes as popular as it does, is because it attracts casual fans.
Listen, Ike, it's not – I always believe this. It's that, not –
That's just about every sport but football, by the way.
Yeah, football doesn't matter.
Yeah, basketball needs it, baseball needs it, and hockey needs it.
I've always been of the belief that it's not my responsibility as a fan to pay attention or watch. That's the team's responsibility to make yourself relevant.
Yes. There's too much going on in society today to be locked in on sports figures as if they are the end-all to be-all. It's not like it was 30, 40 years ago when the athletes were the biggest heroes in the country or meant the most. Like, no, there's way too much going on, and athletes we know aren't held nearly as high in regard as they used to be.
Correct.
So you got to have stars if you want casual fans to that boost in ticket sales the Phillies got yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's because Bryce Harper signed.
Yep. Yeah, it is. No, people were waiting.
Yes.
And you know what? If he doesn't sign and he goes to the Giants, those people, some people maybe buy some tickets anyway. They were waiting. Those people don't.
No. Or they certainly wait while until they become cheaper tickets.
I have people on the inside working on number of tickets sold.
Right.
Since the signing in, I mean, what do we got? Just over 24 hours. There's too many. They're still trying to figure it out.
Wow.
We've heard it over a million. I don't know how long ago that figure is from.
Dude, we said that's what he would do.
And he did.
He said that's what signing Bryce Harper would do.
888-729-9494. Did you buy tickets yesterday? Did you go down? 888-729-9494. Did you go down tonight? Or today? 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese. And I believe this. The Phillies have now become the team that's closest to win a championship.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.